So I am out of sick bay. I've struggled to the microphone.
He's alive! Alive!
He is alive. We may have to edit out a few coughs here and there, but I'm officially back in the saddle. Did you miss me?
I missed you, John. I think the whole world
community
did. And by the whole world, I mean the
listener?
Multiple dozens of listeners.
Well,
we're into the dozens.
We're in the dozens.
Yeah.
Regular listeners who just can't wait to pop us into their Stitcher account or their whatever they use to listen to us on the interwebs.
Yeah, the iTunes.
The iTunes. Is that a thing,
yeah.
iTunes? Is that still around?
Yeah. That's very popular.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never been a fan. Never been a fan.
Yeah, but you're not really like a Mac guy or an Apple guy, right?
I'm a Android phone guy, but a laptop, Mac laptop. Love the Mac laptops.
Okay, because I just assumed because I get those green texts from you that you were definitely not an Apple guy.
No.
Can you believe that, listeners? He has a green texting phone.
Well, it sends you green texts?
Yeah,
because
it's like, oh, here's a text from this guy. He's not using the data iMessage. Ooh. It's a text.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it came in colors on your side. That's pretty
Yeah, no,
wild.
when it's a normal person, high technology text, it's blue.
Oh.
Yeah.
And when it's mine, it's green?
Yeah, it segregates.
Wow.
Apple is teaching people about segregation.
That's pretty amazing. No, my phone allows me to have every conversation in different colors.
Oh.
So all of my texts, you know, in between me and whoever I'm texting, they have their own color palette. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And that seems like a
really great use for technology.
Yeah, you're an aqua blue on my side.
Well, you know what? The aqua blue, that's the Apple color.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this is a baseball podcast and not a tech podcast.
Or an illness podcast.
Or an illness podcast, yes. We're going to struggle through, edit out all the coughs. And whenever.
Yes, also, I have a sore elbow, John.
I
have a partial tear of my elbow ligament. It's a partial sprain. Any sprain is actually a tear, but it's a partial sprain.
What did you do?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure. I wish it was something super cool, like, oh, I was out in the yard. I was throwing 100-mile-an-hour gas, but I think it had something to do with the new puppy and straining it in an awkward position, embarrassingly so.
And, so the puppy worked you over good?
Yeah, you know, at first it was the knees, right? Because it was like, oh, I got to bend over all the time. And then they sort of recovered after a while. And was like, oh, these muscles are being used now. And then something happened with my elbow, and it's just, for like a month now, it's been really painful.
The puppy DL.
Yeah, but I will not be getting Tommy John.
No, that's good news.
Yeah,
that's
no Tommy John. I'm going to do the platelet-rich injections. I'm going to go to Germany with Kobe Bryant and Bartolo Colon and get the platelet-rich injections.
Come back ready to go next season.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right.
So this is Fall Territory. This is episode 76. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
This is, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. There's not a lot of 76s out there. So Dylan Peters, this is the Dylan Peters episode.
Dylan Peters.
Of the Marlins.
The great thing about having the Marlins. One of the very notable current Marlins players. The great thing about having Dylan Peters as the moniker for this episode is all of the search engine results that will generate.
I know, tons. For his family.
People out there got to know about Dylan Peters.
Yeah, the next time his family looks him up to
right.
see what he's doing, they'll be like,
exactly.
What is this? They talked about him on a podcast? This is amazing.
Dylan Peters is going to be out there Googling himself.
He may be our first guest. You have a special treat, I think, for us today.
Yes, today's starting nine is the best starting nine that I've ever done. It's pretty exciting.
The best ever.
The best. Look, I don't like to brag. Well, okay, I do like to brag. That's kind of half of my thing right there. It's just bragging. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, these starting nines. Starting nines, for those of you who don't listen that far into the show, is when I take current event, and then I list nine current players to make it more difficult, right? Because if it was like, oh, current things, like, oh, there's a sex scandal, I could go like, well, Joe Adcock, that's easy.
Right.
Right? And so I try to tie names into some current event. And today's is my favorite that I've ever done, and it's awesome.
I can't wait to hear it.
And it's so awesome that I have no problem telling people up front that it's awesome, because it's going to be more awesome than that.
Wow. This is exciting.
It's like The Room. It's like the opposite of the movie The Room, where people tell you how bad The Room is, and then you see it, and you're like, well, no, it's worse than that. And they're like, no, 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 it's the worst movie you've ever seen. Like, oh, okay, good. Then you go see it. It's worse than the worst movie you've ever seen. No one can ever take away from the worstness of the movie The Room, and that's how great this start. Maybe I shouldn't be comparing a worst thing with the best, but anyway, I think people understand.
This is the best of the best, and that was the best of the worst.
Right.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give a quick shout out to Jeffrey Steinberg. Has a series on our website right now. Part two, I think, is up right now of a three-part series on The Game. And it is a really well-written little expose, or not even expose, but historical peek at a what is considered one of the most significant games in the history of the sport, because it led to the modernization, or at least got the wheels in motion towards the modernization of baseball as we see it today. But a very well-written piece. Series of pieces by Jeffrey Steinberg, who has been putting out some amazing content on our site. So yeah. I just want to give him a shout out.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. He's been a great addition to the site. When you and I started the site, we really wanted it to be a very conversational baseball site, where it's not just like, well, this story happened and here's a reaction, or this trade, what trade should happen and whatever. We wanted it to be sort of like that ballpark experience of talking about the game of baseball, whether it's current, future, or past. And Jeffrey really knocks it out of the park with the talking about the past, the history of the game, and yeah. This series is really interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. So yeah, if you're not following us on Facebook or on the webpage, go and check it out. Us on Facebook. Like us for our podcast on, what's the thing called again, that with the I in front of it? iTunes?
It's iTunes.
iTunes, yes. Got it.
Yes.
Okay, so go give us some love out there, and you'll never miss another podcast that we record.
Right.
And who knows how long we'll be doing this.
Or that we record and doesn't get lost because my computer crashes.
Right. Yes, this is from take an apparent two.
Overheat. Yeah, this is a little behind the curtain for everyone. This is actually take two. If some of our jokes don't seem quite as fresh and quite as zingy and zesty, it's because we've literally said all these jokes already and we've had this conversation, and frankly, I'm bored. So if you're bored too, welcome to the club.
So the good news is we didn't make it as far as starting nine, so that's going to be very fresh.
Yes, that will be fresh as fresh can be.
Okay, so let's jump into this week's headlines.
Yes.
So Ronald Acuna, even though this is going back, I think, last week.
Right, and like the opposite of fresh.
This is not fresh. But we had to talk about it because it was probably one of the bigger stories in baseball, because it became a debate for the ages, apparently, across the interwebs. Ronald Acuna, after five consecutive home runs or five games with home runs or five, I don't remember what it was.
It was like five home runs in four games and three consecutive leadoff home runs.
Correct.
Something like that.
Yes.
It was pretty crazy. It was really like a superstar being a superstar, a budding superstar becoming a superstar.
And Jose Ureña, who nobody knows, has ever heard of, decides to open
up. Not even Dylan Peters of the Marlins.
Right. Decides to open up the next game following this five home run and three consecutive leadoffs, where they drills him in the elbow, going for the back. But first pitch of the game, hits the superstar. The world stopped. There was mudslinging galore towards Ureña. People were saying he'd be thrown out of the game. Others, a very small minority, was saying it's part of the game. But it's more about drawing attention to the age-old it's unwritten rules of baseball type of thing. But this is a budding superstar here. You're jeopardizing his career.
We're talking about Acuña, not Ureña.
Yeah, not Ureña. Okay. Right.
Ureña, is it Ureña?
I believe that's the correct pronunciation.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a big.
I mean, it was a big kerfluffle. I mean, Acuna was in the lineup the next day,
mm-hmm.
and he did not hit a home run.
And
a leadoff home run.
To Urania's credit, he did protest, and then got one more start, and he pitched a complete game two hitter. So
it was a pretty awesome display by him. It was a little bit of an FU to everyone.
Right. Like
the thing we don't know, right? We don't know if this was him or if it was ordered by Don Mattingly.
Right.
If Don Mattingly ordered the code red and said, "You put a ball in his back because I'm tired of seeing him hit home runs." And I feel like we all kind of know that Mattingly would do that, but Urania's been getting the heat for it.
Right. And he's like, "Oh, well, I wanted to own the inside. You know, that's my game. I want to own the inside of the plate. I was just doing my job.
I wanted to own the inside of his lower back."
Right. Because that
his elbow got in the way.
You know, the pitch was running for sure. And it almost, if it ran any further, it might have gone behind him.
Right.
So I think there was some.
And then Colonel Jessup, Don Mattingly, would have been upset.
Right.
Would have had him put another one in his leg.
Right. Correct. And what are we going to be calling Ronald Acuna from now on?
Oh, yes. That was the joke that we did in the other thing. I was like, we're going to call him Private Santiago from now on. So.
Yeah, my apologies. So, I will be hacking up. Anytime Jed makes me laugh, I will be hacking up along.
That is something for everyone to look forward to.
Really? Okay, let's move on to more fun yes. when it comes to players not performing well. Kenley Jansen, heart issues. That's nothing
right.
to laugh about.
A recurrence of his heart issues.
Right. And, you know, it's when you hear heart issues, you don't think 10 days on the DL and you're back.
You know, when I hear heart issues, I immediately think, turn on your heart light. What's wrong with me?
Maybe that's all he needs to do. Maybe somebody needs to show him how to
do
that.
Let it shine wherever you go.
Because it's not working. Whatever light he's shining is not working right now for the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers bullpen has been a mess, and I think they might have hurried this guy back because he came out, he's been back now for two appearances, and both times he's given up home runs. Both times his cutter has been at 90 miles an hour instead of 94. This is how he was back in March, April. But I understand the Dodgers are desperate. They have no relievers. Everyone's injured. And so, you know, they go out. They have a 1-0 lead last night. And then Scott Alexander goes out, gives up a home run to Tyler O'Neill. Okay, good. There goes the lead. Good. Let's bring in Kenley Jansen to hold it down so they get to the ninth. And then, boop, there's two runs. Okay, well, now they're down 3-1. And this offense that started off after the trade deadline so hot has been very quiet with some occasional 11-run outbursts.
Right, right.
It's so very all or nothing, which is strange.
It is. They are about what? Not that the number of games is not that much, but they're like number 4 or 5 in the wild card race right now.
Right. They're just a couple games out.
Yeah, I think. Or 3.5 games.
Three. That's right. But they're what, 2-8 in the last 10 games? Like, you've got to start winning games.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't keep losing games. I don't want to sound like a baseball expert here, but if you lose a lot of games, you're not going to get into the playoffs.
No. And the team that has benefited from the Dodger woes is the Cardinals.
Right. Not only pounding them 3 games in a row here, but also they had won something like 8 in a row last week and then lost one. They've been really awesome.
And why is that?
I assume it's because they got rid of their manager.
That's right. Yes. So Matheny is probably thinking, well, yeah, maybe it was me.
I'm sure Matheny is definitely thinking it's not him. He's like, well, finally the players are doing what I told them to do.
Right. It's they're finally responding. Yeah, when I'm not around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all their fault.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals have been hot. They've been kind of like what the A's were, you know, a month ago when they surged back into the playoff hunt. Not only in the playoff hunt, but into a first place tie. Well, now they're a game back, but they were tied with the Houston there for a bit.
Yeah, that's right. And again, like, baseball is a season long thing. Like, it's a marathon and not a sprint.
Right.
And teams are going to go in these slumps. The best teams are going to have these slumps. And the Cardinals are having one of those surges. The mistake would be thinking that they're going to surge all the way to the end of the season.
Right.
And that the Brewers will continue. Like, the Brewers have been slumping and the Dodgers have been slumping, and that's why the Rockies and the Cardinals have been able to really gain ground into this wild card thing, is because they've been surging while the other teams are slumping. Well, you know what? Next week, it's going to be the opposite. So it's going to be how it all plays out the rest of the season. But right. It's a certainly more exciting scenario than what it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a yawner in the American League. And then the A's surge back in. And now there's actually, it's still going to be the same teams. There's only, you know, one team's going to be left behind. And right now it looks like it's going to be Seattle because they have come back to earth.
They have a little bit of like what the Dodgers have. They just can't put it together. They score a bunch of runs one night, and then the next night they don't. And then,
well, they were down 9-1 last night, and then they wound up coming back and not winning, but they lost 9-7. So you can't.
But that's
give
a
up.
Great example of a manager, and we talked about this in our first pass at this, but this modern manager epidemic of leaving in pitchers too long based on the old standard of like, well, you got to let them work it out. And like sometimes you got a Lance Lynn getting hammered by the Marlins last night. You got Charlie Morton getting hammered by Seattle. It's not that hard to see on the television when the stuff just isn't quite there. And you got to have somebody ready to come in and put the fire out. And these, it's frustrating as a fan of baseball. I mean, obviously a 9-7 game is better than a 9-1 game.
Right.
But the reluctance to pull starters and use, and I understand like, well, you can only have so much bullpen, and like, yeah, but figure out another, like if the starter only goes three innings, and figure out a way to get him to do an inning in, you know, as his in-between game or something. Like, let's start using the system.
Right. And you would think that all the numbers and the sabermetrics they have going on, it would be staring them right in the face that, okay, his limit is five innings.
Right.
Let's keep an eye on him in the fifth inning to see what happens.
Right. Oh, well, we want to make sure he gets the win.
You want
to make sure the team gets the win.
Right. Yeah, you're not managing towards someone's bonus pool.
Right, exactly. Like, look, he got 19 wins this season instead of 17, but it also jeopardized.
Yeah, you know, he got his wins, but we wound up losing in the wild card race.
Right. So, anyway, I can go on and on. Hey, speaking of teams that seem to have given up, the Nationals, though, right?
Yeah, you know, they're with
they
a caveat.
That's like a given up.
I feel like they have, but they have the Lerner wrote a letter to the fans, and you know, we took a, I love this, we took a gamble at the All-Star break by not trading. So we took a gamble by not doing anything, and
it didn't work
out for us.
Right, right.
You know, so.
I mean, yes, technically that's a gamble.
Mm-hmm. And he, but it's one of those things.
Our house was on fire. We took a gamble on not putting any water on it.
Right.
Hoping the wind would just blow out the fire.
And it would rain.
And it would rain.
And yeah, it didn't work out too well. So they've dumped Daniel Murphy and Matt Adams, too. You know, I don't want to say Adams, definitely a big bat for them this year. So Adams goes home to St. Louis.
Right.
And, you know, that's got to be a big boost to Cardinals fans and, you know, Matheny's.
And also must terrify Clayton Kershaw. I remember he hit that playoff home run against him that was really, as far as I'm concerned, was the beginning. I don't want to say the beginning of the end of Kershaw, but, like, that was the first time where it was like, oh, wow, this guy isn't superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up home runs to lefties in the playoffs sort of became Kershaw's thing. And then, of course, Daniel Murphy did the same thing the next year.
Mm-hmm.
For the Mets,
right,
and now he's on the Cubs, and he's going to play second base. And Javi Baez moves to short. Addison Russell goes to the disabled list for now, and probably will just be a bench bat for the rest of the season. Odd development.
Yeah, that was a strange.
Murphy's been on fire for the last month, though. Like, he's exactly what the Cubs. The Cubs also have a what's it called? Struggling offense right now.
Struggling offense, pitching, other than the newly acquired. What's his name? The lefty. He's the only one who's been from Texas. Former Philly.
Hamels,
yeah. Cole Hamels.
I didn't know if you met Quintana, because Quintana's been okay.
No, but overall, though, overall, big disappointment for the rotation for the Cubs this year.
Yeah.
you know, fits and stops and starts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Tyler Chatwood, the walk machine, has been
disaster.
Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, he's going to leave Colorado, and look at his numbers on the road when he was with Colorado. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's not really how baseball works.
No,
but okay.
No, not working too well. So we get a couple of injury things going on to not more than just your fantasy baseball team.
Yes, though my fantasy baseball team continues to be just
decimated.
Just decimated with really important players. And then they're bringing back players that are clearly still injured and who are underperforming. It's like, hey, thanks.
Thanks. You're killing
but
me.
But no
You're
thanks.
Killing me, Smalls.
That's a sarcastic thanks.
Right, right.
For those listening out there, that was sarcasm.
But the Yankees, Aaron Judge, going to be out longer than anticipated. And then just two nights ago, Chapman's having issues with his knees and throws, what, six pitches, and he's done. Didi Gregorius injures his heel on a freak play, and he's on the DL.
So, and, of course, Ellsbury has been a real loss for them all season.
Who is that? so he went on the DL after not playing in a single game, you know, all season long, but he hit the DL. Big news.
Yeah, but the Yankees look, well, I would say they look beatable. They barely beat the Marlins the first night they played them, and then the Marlins crushed them the next night.
Right. No.
It's a tough spot, you know. Plus, you have an inexperienced manager in Aaron Boone, you know, and that's a weird position for that team to be in. And the Red Sox have a whatever 8 or 9 game lead on them, so the division's sort of sewn up. But they still need to win the wild card. They don't get the wild card because they had an awesome, you know, May and June.
No, they
or even
they,
July.
They could, you know, they could flounder further, and you could see.
Yeah.
That would be the story of the year if the Yankees didn't make the playoffs.
Right. But it would be a story that's like the story of injuries because, like, to lose those guys is so huge.
So imagine if the Yankees implode, the Dodgers implode, and the Nationals implode. There would be three teams that people would have, you know, probably put a lot of money on.
That'd be crazy. That would be almost too baseball.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like, even the baseball gods would be like, okay, sorry about that. We've got our communications crossed
but
up here.
If you look at who's in the playoffs as of right now in the National League, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Chicago, Arizona, and Colorado.
It's crazy.
Or no, is it not Colorado?
Crazy. St. Louis, not to mention like the lowest rated playoffs you can ever imagine.
Right, right. So it's Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, Arizona, and Colorado. Yeah, okay. That's like topsy-turvy. And then it's like, can we just hand the World Series crown to the Red Sox already?
I mean, here's the thing. It may all not matter with this 115-win team, right? Like, this is a monster team. This is a team where it's like, well, Chris Sale's shoulder's kind of sore. Well, we'll just rest him. Oh, he's on the DL. Like, and you can tell it's like, well, no, you don't have to worry about anything. We're just...
But
you know,
the 116 win Mariners did not make it out of the first round. So,
yeah, but this is a different team than that.
Sure, I agree.
This is a different team than that Mariners team. So, I mean, they're all different teams, but like the way this team is built, it'd be interesting to see if they add anything else. You know, right at the end of the August, the waiver deadline. Just to I like what the Cubs did. The Cubs got Terrence Gore from the Royals. And the only reason this guy is on the team is to steal bases when someone gets on base and you put Terrence Gore on to steal bases. That's all he's there for. The Dave Roberts model.
Right, right. So how about this injury to Trevor Bauer? So he was in the midst of a potentially
Cy Young. Of the Cy Young leader, right?
Yeah.
Like, his numbers were all like, I think the only reason that would have stopped him from winning is because people were like, oh, no, but it's Trevor Bauer.
Right.
Like, those numbers must be wrong because it's Trevor Bauer. But he was having an awesome season.
Mm-hmm.
And then just got a liner off his off his ankle or lower leg.
And is he just the 10
stress
days?
Stress fracture. No, it looks like it might be longer.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, no, it's a real bummer. This has been an injury-filled season, hasn't it?
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then
strange season.
Yu Darvish done for the year.
Yu Darvish. Shht.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
crazy.
A lot of money spent. $126 million.
Oof.
Ouch.
Yeah. not necessarily worth it.
Let's see, where else? Oh,
I'm surprised he's not on the Dodgers with that kind of an injury. Surprised he's not on the Dodgers.
So we have Ben Zobra, 16-year veteran. First time he gets ejected was this past week.
It was great.
And do you know what the offense was?
Yes. He suggested to the umpire that he can't wait for robot umps.
That'll do it. that's pretty funny.
I think he felt that the balls and strikes that were being called against him were inaccurate and felt that a robotic umpire using laser metrics and so forth would be more accurate.
I think it would be interesting to see that day come. Not that I'm rooting for that, because there are certain times when players go ballistic on a ball that is clearly a strike.
Right.
And thinking that there was a mistake made. And in other times where there's calls being made and no one blinks an eye, it's like, oh, yeah, that was a bit outside. Right. And no one
But here's the thing,
flinches.
Like, what if a ball is down the middle of the zone and then the robot glitches out?
Calls it a ball.
Right? Launches nuclear weapons against our enemies.
Does the Enrico Fermi back or the shuffle?
Yeah.
No.
Wait,
no,
the what? Enrico Palazzo?
Enrico Palazzo, yeah.
Yes.
The little shuffle.
The Naked Gun reference that we like to pull, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Enrico Fermi. That's great. I'm pulling
Didn't
out
Didn't I write
scientists.
An article about that? I think I wrote an article about that, right? The Enrico
Palazzo. I
believe Palazzo.
You did. That was a long time ago, though.
A long time ago. Yeah. Back in the early days of John and I working together. Me and John working together. John and I. John and I working together. I'm going to say that's the way it is.
Okay. Okay, good. So this next headline kind of threw me for a little bit because I had to kind of frame myself. I'm like, what's a musk tunnel? And I was thinking like musk as in the aroma. When I first saw that, but it's an Elon Musk.
Yes. Yeah. Wants to build a tunnel because, you know, he's catching all kinds of heat about everything.
Yeah. Cause
days.
He's losing his mind. I think
it does seem like maybe his interest in, ecstasy, and
well,
Burning
sleep.
Man and whatnot.
Right. Apparently he doesn't sleep.
And Ambien and whatnot. It probably is not going so great but this is a good idea. He wants to build a tunnel to help, because he's about tunnels right now, right?
The Mars and tunnels. And
tunnels. Right. That's his thing, right? And so he's, you know, obviously the Dodgers, if you've ever been to LA, you know traffic is an issue. And so going to Dodger Stadium, traffic is an issue. And Elon Musk feels that his tunnel would help solve the issue.
And what is this tunnel intended to do?
You know, it's just one of his, he's already got one in Southern California where at one of the facilities there where it just kind of just goes for like a couple blocks or something. And it just avoids traffic and kind of keeps the traffic in the area down and then also allows people to get to the facility.
And
I
this
think,
is something he will fund out of his own pocket.
Or this is a movie I saw. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm so confused with this guy. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very confused about him.
Yeah. He's either good or he's nuts.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
I like the good guy.
I think he's definitely nuts. But he does seem like he's a genius, but maybe, you know, maybe he's a Green Goblin. Who knows?
He could be. So here's exciting news if you're a fan of the umpire realm. Joe West moves into second place all time for games umpired.
Yes.
And who was the top of the list?
You know what? Was it Clem?
Oh, that's going way back.
Yeah, I think it was Clem. Yeah, it was pretty funny. We did the This Week in Baseball that we do on the site. We did a funny joke. It was congratulations to Joe West and his seeing eye dog. And the way we had originally written it was just like just this steady stream of like umpire insults, like, you know, like, oh, you missed a lot of great games. You know, which team are you is paying your checks? All this stuff. Anyway, it's sort of a dubious achievement, right? I don't think he's a well-regarded umpire, right? I think most people go Joe West, but maybe that's just because he's been around
so
much, you know?
Right. No, there's there. I remember back in when the umpires were characters in the game back in the 60s and 70s, and then that kind of phased out as during the 80s, transition to the 90s. Umpires are, you know, shouldn't be seen in a game unless provoked. But they used to be colorful characters in the game.
Yeah,
those days are
well, gone. They're going to be robots soon, so it doesn't really matter.
Goodbye.
How many games will the HAL 9000 umpire? He's going to break this record. He's going to ump forever. All the games.
Right. Every game. He'll probably break the record within a few years. Every game, all the time. Every night. Okay, Aaron Sanchez is blaming a suitcase for a finger injury. Those are the worst.
Right, so he's been out for almost 3 months now, mm-hmm. right? And
he's saying that this was the initial cause or a most recent cause?
No, this is what it turns out that the injury... I mean, he probably told the team. It wasn't like a Jeff Kent situation where it's like, oh, no, I was cleaning my truck. And like, well, actually, I was racing motorcycles and I fell.
Right.
Like, oh, is that why you have a skid mark? You didn't get a giant skid mark on your hip from falling off of a truck? Okay. Thanks. Thanks, professional liar. so it turns out that this is like, I don't know, the second or third injury this year for a player involving suitcases, involving luggage. Like, dudes, they should have a valet for everybody on the team.
Right.
Don't let them lift anything.
Or carrying them up and down stairs, you know, making sure that they don't, you know, fall in the shower. Just kind of an assistant. Does everything, all the heavy lifting.
I'm not sure about this shower thing, John. I feel like that's into a creepy area that...
Wasn't it the agent that had the video in the shower?
Yes, it was. It was. Allegedly.
Allegedly. So let's move along. It's
been a weird year for baseball, my friend.
So this came out, what, yesterday or a couple of days ago? The new season, the schedule for 2019?
Yes, so Major League Baseball was so excited about the rainouts that they had this year, the record-setting rainouts. They were like, you know what? Let's start it a couple days earlier.
Let's make sure we get a few more snow games.
Yeah.
A few more cold weather games.
Yeah, and they're going to have all the games being played in Colorado.
Well, I know that the Mariners open their season in Japan. So they're starting even earlier. They're starting like the 21st of March in Japan.
That's weird when they do that.
I know. It just totally throws everything off.
Here are two games.
Yeah, two games to kick off the season, and then you come back and take 3 or 4 days to reacclimate, and then your regular season
And then they do
starts.
Like a little mini spring training
after
the two games to get back to – it's weird. I'm not sure I approve of this, John.
Yeah, and so the Mariners open their season in earnest against – Boston in Seattle, which is not the most, at least they have a roof, but it's usually pretty darn cold early in the season.
Yeah, but roof's better than no roof, man. Yeah.
Won't get rained out, that's for sure, or snowed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Barry Bonds had his number retired recently, and it really wasn't a big deal, was it?
Well, I mean it happened,
but it wasn't it wasn't on every channel and you know, when certain players have their numbers retired, it's a big deal, and you see it in the headlines, and you see it on TV, and this one kind of just came and went.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, because he's, what, maybe the third best player in the history of the game? I mean, he's in the top five, right? He's in the top five baseball players to ever play baseball. Like, and it's like he gets his number retired, like, oh, steroids, this, and performance-enhancing creams, and... whatnot, you know, he went out to left field, right, for one last trot, you know? Like, all right, I guess he, you know, took some steroids while he was out there. Whatever, just for old time's sake. Just wobbled that big old balloon head of his out to left field.
It's gotten smaller, though, I think.
Has it? I would love to see a comparison, because he used to do the comparisons the other way. Right. From when he was younger.
Yeah, and that's one of those things with Clemens and Bonds is that these guys were Hall of Famers before they started juicing. And it's unfortunate that their careers are now defined by something that ultimately wasn't a necessity. But everybody was doing it. So.
Well, maybe like Trump will help them get, not him personally help them get in, but maybe like because Trump has been something that's made people sort of rethink their priorities on certain things. And so maybe Trump will make people think like, eh, these guys were just doing PEDs. At least they weren't, you know, like funneling campaign funds to pay off whores.
You know, nothing
to silence serious. To silence porn right, stars. Yeah. At least he wasn't no doing crime. That.
No harm, no foul.
And look, it's questionable whether there actually is a crime that's committed there. Because it's one of those gray areas. Like, well, he's been doing this forever. So maybe this is just kind of his thing. He just pays off, you know, Playboy right. playmates, and like he paid with his right. own
he
money.
Can, he can shoot. He can shoot whoever he wants in the street, and no one will care. They'll still love him.
Well, there's also that, and you know, he is a celebrity, so he gets to grab him by the
privilege.
You know, they just let you.
I tell you.
Yeah. What a great time to live in the United States. What a great time to be alive in the United States. Just a wonderful, wonderful time. But you know what? The economy's doing really well.
Keep on keeping on.
So I guess that's a plus. I don't know.
Well, apparently the headlines, not to get sidetracked too much, but the headline from Trump last night or today on the news was that if I were to get impeached, the stock market would crash. So we've got that to look forward to.
Possible. I mean, here's the thing, right? It's all just like dirty politics, because like all of this stuff came up because of all this Russian collusion stuff, right? Which there isn't going to be any evidence of, because these guys are just too dumb to collude with Russia. Also, P.S., why do they keep issuing sanctions against Russia if there's collusion? I don't understand. Is this the master plan? Is like, oh, what we'll do is we'll destroy the Russian economy with sanctions, and then what?
Right.
What's the play here? I don't understand. Like, okay.
Right. We'll scold them a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a pretty great time to be involved in politics, to watch it all happening. I mean, really, it's better than anything on television. Though I will say, some of the writing, the Omarosa stuff that the writers did for this season, I really feel is over the top.
They kind of stretched it a little bit too far.
I feel like the writers for The President's Show really went over the top when they added in, like, oh, she was recording stuff.
In top secret and like now she might areas.
In top secret rooms.
Hold on a second.
I was recording stuff.
Hold on. Let me get this app open. Hold on.
Right? What is she doing? And like, you open yourself up to like a criminal investigation by just bragging to everyone that you're recording confidential things. Right. But you know what? Hey, Hillary didn't get busted for her criminal activities. Am I right? But her emails. So crazy. And all these guys getting busted for like finance fraud. Like, this is the problem with Trump's people, is they're all like bank fraud
people.
They're
all criminals. So it's like,
yeah, like it's all white collar criminals, and like, you know, it's not like violent crime, but like these are crimes in the United States. You can't defraud. You have to pay taxes. You can't try to trick your way out of taxes.
I love the quote from the only juror that has spoken after the Manafort trial was over. She said, "I really didn't want to find him guilty." So she was predisposed.
Right.
But she said, "But he broke the law. And when you break the law, I had no choice." It's like, well, yeah, that's kind of the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I think there, and then she said she's going to vote for Trump in 2020. I think that's interesting, because I think she's an interesting test subject, right? Because like, here she was clearly not being prejudiced by her support of Trump, but many people not on Trump's side feel that Trump supporters are blinded by but this person easily could have created a mistrial on every count.
Could have. But didn't. She's a fine, upstanding citizen.
Right, because she did her civic duty. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's a good story. It won't go anywhere. The next big crazy thing will take over the headlines.
That's coming down the pike probably by the time we're done with this.
Yeah.
So there'll be something new to talk about. Okay, last story for headlines. A baseball signed at the inaugural Baseball Hall of Fame induction in 1939 by all of the five inductees, sold recently for $623,000 plus $8.
I felt like it should have been more.
Thank you, because I when I saw that, I'm like, that's it? An Honus Wagner car can sell for $1.2-1.3 million, and this has the legend, the first class inducted into the Hall of Fame, and only fetches a little more than $500,000? I was surprised.
I wonder if that market's just down, because I remember, like, the Sammy Sosa home run balls.
Right, yeah.
Weren't those going for millions?
Wasn't it McFarlane, the guy who was buying all those balls up? And
yeah. Apparently he wasn't interested in these Hall of Fame players who didn't use steroids.
I think that it does come across as a little bit of a ding to the memorabilia market.
I thought it was going to be more. When I first saw the article, I was like, oh, cool. And then it was like, oh. I mean, I guess that's a lot for a piece of leather wrapped around some rubber.
Yeah, you know, for a 100-year-old
ball. Stitched together.
You know, not even 100, an 80-year-old ball. Well, that wraps up headlines, which means one thing. It's time for Starting Nine, the highly anticipated Starting Nine. The best ever, self-proclaimed best ever.
We'll see, but yeah, okay, it is.
Let's do this.
Okay, you guys ready? So, in honor of the late Aretha Franklin, one of the great singers of all time, we're going to do nine players with Aretha Franklin-related names. Well, what do you mean, Jed, Aretha Franklin-related names? Well, how about this? What you want? Baby, I got it, Chiro. What you need? Do you know why Yasmero Petit? All I'm asking is for a little respect, Wei Yin Chen, you get home. John, this is where you say just a little bit. I ain't going to do you wrong, Will Myers, you're gone. Ain't going to do you Colton Wong, because I don't want to. All I'm asking is for Sean Doolittle respect when you come home. I'm about to Michael Givens you all of my money. And all I'm asking, just in returner, honey, is to give Willie Adames my propers. When you get home, Urbailey. Justin.
Oh,
Upton.
Man, that is so good. By far the best yet.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Great. And how many times did you rehearse that? Zero times.
Wow, John.
You're so good.
Zero times.
That was really good. Really clever.
Zero times.
Clever one.
Thank you. Yeah, that was
by
fun.
By far. Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you. You know what we should do is we should make a clip of that and put it on YouTube.
See what
and
happens.
Just take over the world. Like, see if we can hit one of those 100 million views.
We can do it with music in the background. We can get like cartoon shots, you know, big head, small body shots of the players. Yeah. Who's got time for that?
Did you see Al Sharpton's
no
homage to Aretha Franklin?
Was it good?
He goes, Aretha Franklin, one of the great singers, and she has all of my R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Respect? Did he really say that? That was
a
tweet or something?
It was on air. I assume it was a teleprompter misread.
Wow.
Maybe a misspelling on the teleprompter.
That's
but
pretty
darn
embarrassing.
Just maybe the most famous spelling in any song ever. Okay, Al Sharpton. Sounds good. I mean, maybe he was thinking like B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Or maybe he was thinking B-A-N-A-N-I-S.
And didn't Trump have some strange comment after, like, all my best or the best of the family or some kind of non sequitur type of response to...
Yeah, did he mention something about how she used to work for him or something?
It's so funny that everything comes back. So, it's just too much fun to bring up Trump every once in a while. We've got some time. So, the one thing that during this, so the Cohen stuff comes out and right away Trump's like, no collusion, wasn't discussed, not brought up. It's like, you know, I'm just going to beat that horse until it's dead. But, you know, let's bring up things that are totally not on point, but just.
Now, hold on a second. The best part was when he did a Yelp review of Cohen afterwards. If anyone's looking for a lawyer to represent them, I don't recommend Michael Cohen.
I don't recommend my go-to guy.
It's so awesome. I mean, we're all stuck in this situation, right? We got this guy as our president, but we've got to just enjoy it,
you know,
otherwise, we're just going to be at each other's throats.
The late night talk show hosts are happier than they've ever been. They thought George Bush was a boon for them. It's never been better. Never been better.
Yeah, it's fairly spectacular.
It's always something new. And the hair, what's going on with his hair? Yeah. It seems like it's morphing.
I don't know. And is he getting more tan?
I can't tell what's going on.
I don't know. Did they have a tanning bed in the White House? Is this the first time that they've had that?
No, it's weird. It really is. Yeah. Looking forward to what's next. Okay, that's...
Wait, you mean coming up next?
Not there yet.
No, we're not to that.
Pretty soon.
Okay.
Extra innings, though.
You're looking forward to what's next on the next episode of Donald Trump is actually the president of the United States.
Who that?
That's what you're looking forward to. That's a
Donald
Trump.
Extra innings. Let's take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball.
Yes.
Some cool stuff.
Yeah. And some weird stuff.
So this whole Urban Meyer thing in Ohio State, I being remote from the country now, I'm not seeing things on TV. I'm only seeing things as I read them. So I was not...
Right. Also, it's all in Spanish. So you're like, Urban Meyer. That's my speaking Spanish.
So you knew
Spanish.
Something was coming down, and then it comes down. But the big controversy today is that he's been taking meds because he forgets things, and so it's kind of like a justification. And if you have a coach who's having issues with memory, do you really want him coaching? I mean, that was a...
I don't remember, John.
This is just a weird story to me. It's like, we'll take the wins at all costs, but we'll suspend him for 3 games.
Yeah.
For his looking the other way, forgetting.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. Like, it feels like maybe he should be punished more. I mean, at the rate Meyer's going, he's going to be president of the United States in 2024.
Because everywhere he goes, he leaves a trail of infractions behind him. Utah, then Florida, and now here.
One can only speculate as to the porn stars that he's been banging. And by the way, shout out to Donald Trump. This guy still banging porn stars at his age? Like, into his 60s porn stars. Look, obviously it's bad behavior, but in another way,
money
kind
talks.
Of impressive. Hey.
I think.
And all these important fighters of the resistance that are these porn stars that had sex with a married man for money... Good for you. Have you seen this thing now where whenever someone gets fired from the federal government, in addition to their pension, they also get these GoFundMe accounts where people around the country give them thousands of dollars for being anti-Trump. It's absolutely... GoFundMe was such a wonderful thing, I think, because you get guys on there who's like, oh, I lost a dog and I'm trying to... get a new one. I need money. Oh, I need a surgery and I can't afford it. Here, you know, they raise $20,000. Oh, this person lost their kid and let's raise the money. And like, this guy got fired from a federal job where he's going to get a pension and he is paid with taxpayer money already. He's going to get a pension from taxpayer money. And oh, by the way, why don't we give him $400,000?
It's good to be America.
For being against Trump and not having done anything. But just having been opposed to Donald Trump. Beautiful. It's a beautiful country. I love capitalism. But I feel like that's a bad use of the GoFundMe.
That's not a good advertisement for the proper way.
I feel like $400,000 could be donated to veterans services.
That would be much better
use. And be put to better use.
I agree. Speaking of a waste of money... Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods are having their much ballyhooed, long awaited one mano a mano $9 million match play match. It's going to go down, I think, on Thanksgiving weekend right in the, you know, in the quiet season of golf, you know, to bring those fans that are, you know, OD'd on turkey to a pay-per-view event.
Yes. And they're going to be mic'd up.
It's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah. We're going to hear all about, like, oh, should I use a 9-iron? Like, oh, does this look like, does this rash look like I should see a doctor about that? Like, that waitress did look a little worn out, if you know what I'm saying. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, and I was with this other girl. This blackjack dealer was, like, really into me. Like, yeah, of course, you're Phil Nicholson. You can do whatever you want.
The privileges of being a celebrity. Now, that's a lot of money, though.
And then the event will go into the evening over at Cheetah's.
Right. Tiger Woods hosting.
Gentlemen's Club. Tiger Woods hosts.
No, but it's a winner-take-all, supposedly. And I thought one of the things that I saw about this was that, you know, you think it like 9 million. Why 9 million? That's weird. The PGA is responsible and or owns the licensing rights of their imagery on television. That's part of the deal of being, you know, a member of the PGA. Therefore, they didn't want the number to be as high as their FedEx Cup championship, which is 10 million. So they had to. They didn't want it to be like, okay, you go out and play one match and make 9 million or 10 million. So let's temper that down just a skosh, down to 9 million.
Nice. Yeah,
it must be nice to be. I think it's going to be a fun thing. It should be a fun thing. The two of them are known for being sticklers when it comes to playing for money. So that is going to add for a completely different element. Is, you know, it's like the Sunday or the Saturday afternoon. Club pros going at each other for skins games and stuff and betting.
I just hope there's like an open bar at each hole because I want it to get wild, you know? And then like while we're there, let's do a little bit of like Tour de France type stuff.
Right.
And let's go, let's throw some stuff at these guys. Like let's, I'm not saying we make it like tackle.
No, but.
Right? Like tackle football.
Yeah, a little but, Caddyshack like, action, blowing up holes and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe not blowing up holes, because I feel like, you know, in this day and age, people might think like, oh, that's, you know, triggering and, you know, but I don't know, just like a, maybe like a swarm of locusts at some point or, you know, like, oh, this we've watered down this hole. And it's just the whole hole is just the whole hole. Great word usage there, Jed. It's just soaked with water. Right. So they have to fight. They have to like swim basically
to the hole. Cool. Just, you know, like it's severe putt-putt, you know?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Okay, so now this is what I want to watch. Let's get them onto a miniature golf course.
Yeah, that would be cool. Let's do it.
What are we talking about? Yeah. Let's wrap this thing up. We got more to do.
Madonna. Madonna turned 60.
Yes. Yes.
I felt like she turned 60 a long time ago. She kind of looks like she did.
I was very excited to see this because the woman keeps herself relevant. And then I saw her appearance at the VMAs, the Video Music Awards, for those of you who don't know the slang, the VMAs. And I was a little bit terrified that she had become a gypsy from an 80s B-movie horror fantasy film.
I haven't seen it yet.
And I think that's a bad choice. I mean, obviously, we don't want her prancing around in like, underwear stuff anymore, but I feel like there's an in between,
and she's still trying to be relevant.
You know, like but I think it's one of those things where like maybe just a little too much.
I'll have to check it out.
A little too much. Again, we're talking about a visual thing on the radio, so to speak. But it's a very jarring image. I kept thinking she was gonna curse the audience like thinner, right? No. You ever see that movie? Yeah, that's a messed up movie.
So
anyway, Stephen King.
So this is must be a sad day.
Well, it is for some people.
I mean, I've never seen the show, and I have people who swear by it.
Right?
They're like, "How could you not seen this show, The Big Bang Theory?" I've never seen it.
Big
it's
Bang.
It's announcing
Theory.
Its final season. Is final it the ninth season? 10th season? Something like that.
I mean, it's the too manyth season.
Yeah, it's a one-trick show, and they've leveraged it into multiple seasons for sure. Are they still in college?
I feel like CBS has a knack for
teaching
that.
In college? I don't even quite understand the premise of the show.
I feel like CBS did that with Two and a Half Men, right? And I feel like I don't think any other channel you could get. It's like it's such an innocuous show. It's like I remember I watched the first couple episodes and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I basically see every episode for the next 10 years if this goes 10 years. I figured it out. I saw two. That's pretty much all you need to see. And Two and a Half Men is like that. And these shows that just won't die. They're not bad shows, right? They're just good.
So yeah, so good like enough, right? Those long-running shows, I've never seen Two and a Half Men, never seen a full episode. I never saw How I Met Your Mother, which was, you know, another one of those.
Yeah, that's an ABC show. Yeah,
these shows, that just amazes me when I find out how long they've been on. I'm like, wow, I just didn't know that show had an audience for that long.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
Right. I mean, you go, the guys that do the show, right? Like, they're all multi-gazillionaires. Oh, yeah,
$1 million an episode. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. What are they going to do next?
Good times. I don't know. Right. Count their money? I think they've all done like other work, right? But I think that's one of the problems with those sitcoms is you get so entrenched as those people that people just see you as those people. And no matter what you do, you're still just that person.
Okay, so this last story, I'm just going to let you have this all to yourself.
Oh, right. Okay, so the story that came out a couple days ago is that so Johnny Depp's marriage to Amber Heard ended after an argument over poop.
What?
Yes. So apparently the story goes that Johnny Depp missed a birthday party or was late for a birthday party. And when they got home, they were upset about it. But there was poop in the bed. Now, Amber Heard later claimed that it was dog poop. But Johnny Depp's claim was that it was human sized poop. And this was it. This was it. This was the end of the. Look, you'd think this doesn't have anything to do with baseball, but Albert Pujols, hello. I don't know. That just popped in my head. But anyway, yeah, so this whole breakup and this tearing asunder of two people in love came down to her pooping in the bed.
Maybe. So she literally shit the bed. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay. Well, Hollywood. Crazy Hollywood. What's coming up next?
Find out if we even bothered to show up next week on the next episode of the Foul Territory Podcast.